Today is Tuesday, April 9th. We are in Megillas Rus. We are starting. He just held up a sign that says, "I hear you." Yisher koyach, yisher koyach. We left off yesterday with the Pasuk Gimel. We'll pick up there. Vayomas Elimelech Ish Nami. Before we do that, the question that we left with, one of the questions we left with was, when did this happen? 968 BCE. 968 BCE, which is, I even did some cheshbon, I'm not so good at math, 304 years after Kivush Haaretz, and there's 304 years after Yehoshua, and it was 259 years before the, that can't be written, I did it backwards, it's 259th year of the Shoftim. And 304 years of the after Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael.
I'm sorry, is this Cheshbon LP Seder Olam?
Yes, Seder Olam. So 304 years after Yehoshua brought the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, and 259 years into the period of Shoftim, using the end of Yehoshua as the beginning of the period of Shoftim, which is the way that particular Sefer makes that calculation. Okay, so we left with an interesting question yesterday. Why Elimelech is called Ish Naomi, and we mentioned the Rashi there that says, "Ein Ish Meis Ella LeIshto." It comes from a Gemara that says, "Ein Ish Meis Ella LeIshto V'Ein Isha Meisa Ella LeBala," and the wife is only considered dead to the husband. The husband really feels it, and we learn that from Yaakov, who said what? Va'ani bevoi mi Padan. When I left Padan, Mesolai Rachel, my wife Rachel died. So we said that there's a special relationship between the husband and wife. But then we had a very interesting question. If that's the case, why is it that the shortest period of mourning, the 30 days, is husband and wife or siblings? And we mentioned one of the common answers, namely that that's not a unique relationship like the parents are a unique relationship. But let's look a little bit more into this question about when Elimelech dies, who in fact is punished? Because we know we are working on a whole punishment here. The idea that Elimelech was a Tsarayan, that he didn't regard his kinfolk, the other Jews in Beis Lechem Yehuda, in a way that he would want to or help support them in the time of the famine. So this is a lot of punishment going on here anyway. So what's this about? So there's a Sefer Shiras HaLevi on the Megillas Rus, which has some very interesting insights. And he says the following. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Mishpatei Hashem Emes Sodku Yachdov. All the mishpat, all the decisions, all the judgments rendered by God are true. They're right, they're accurate, whatever word you want to use for emes there. And therefore, when there is a punishment to a spouse, it also punishes the children. The children are also punished at the same time, right? She may have lost her father, but I mean, she may have lost her husband, but they lost their father. So in fact, there is punishment to both. It's not limited to this. It's not limited to just the wife. He writes,
"More than that, they died."
What?
"More than that, they died."
Not yet. They die 10 years later. But right now, he just dies. Shelimelech ish nomi meis hagam shenisharu he ushnei vanel litzdair aloncho umizeh nilmad shegam heim hayu chayovim leheyonesh ulitzdair baoncho, that they also were involved in the punishment. They also, as you point out, ultimately they die, but as of now they are also involved in some level of the punishment. And the Malbim speaks about this as well. Before you say the Malbim, listen to the Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi here. He says, "Horelano." This teaches us the reference to it being Ish Nami. She'im hayameis b'shem tov. If he died with a good name, with a good reputation, Hoya Meis Ledaro, he would be considered dead to everyone. They would say, Elimelech, leader of the generation, Elimelech Tzadik, great philanthropist, he'd get an obituary in the New York Times, it would be a whole big thing. It says, Meis Ledaro, Aval Akshav, Lo Meis Ela Leishto. In terms of everybody else caring beyond the family, no one cares. He's not. He did not turn out to be a good fellow in terms of what he was doing or what he was supposed to do and help out the other people. There's a medrash that goes farther. Later we're going to see that after, we'll jump ahead a second, that there are 10 years go between the time that they get married and they died. It says like this. Why 10 years? It says that there's a medrash that says the following. There was a country, and the king's advisor was asking the advisor, what's going to happen if there's a famine? Hayu bnei abnei betuchim alav. V'yomer shim tavo shnas betzores, yachol lefarnes hamedina eser shonim. And we'll read that medrash a little bit later when we get to the 10 years part. But the point is, everyone understood that what did he do? What did Elimelech do? Barach mipnehem. He fled. He ran away. He said, I don't need to support everybody. So there's a whole punishment going on. And Hashem punished him first. Why did he punish him first? Why didn't Naomi get punished at the same time? Why did just he died? The Malbim says, Vayomas. Al-Yidei she-hiskim li-hishayar b'chutzlar, it's Nenosh. Tekef Vayomas. He gets punished right away. They what did they do? They fled. They decide they're going to live in Chutzlar. You're going to get a punishment. Ubier, madua Nenosh hu v'lo Naomi. So why not Naomi? They're the two adults in the family. Right? Why don't they both get punished? Kihu aya ish Naomi. He was the boss. Umoshe aleho. V'yokar achet misyach. Ikar achet misyach is ilov. Chazal omru. Tchila henishu Hashem b'mamono. Ki ein balarachim pagayim nefashos tchila. The first punishment was a monetary one. They lost everything. When they got to stay Moab, they were no longer rich, big gvir. They lost everything. So the first punishment was a monetary one. Thought being, well, maybe this first warning will make them realize they did the wrong thing and do what? And they'll go back. But, of course, they did not. So the first was this. When that didn't work, Oz, Merameis, Ishnami, the death of Ishnami, Ki Asher Gadol Keli Melech, Hu Batzmo Noda B'Shem, Aidei Ashrei. It's a punishment in and of itself to be called Ishnami. Sounds funny, right? Yeah. Why is that a punishment? Because he was a big veer. He was a big person. If he was still in good stead with everybody, what would they have said? Hayuomrim Shemes Elimelech Asher. The great Elimelech has passed on. The great philanthropist, the great tzaddik, or whatever other attributes he may have had. Elimelech, Parnes Gadol Hador, the great leader, the gabbai, the rabbi, the whoever of the door. Aval Acher She'ovad Kol Oshrei, after he left everything. V'hoya Be'eretz Nachriya, he's now in a foreign country, in a non-Jewish place. Lo Nada B'Shem Rak She'Yishnomi. V'hoda Sham Yoyser Menu. Who knew the Rak Bameshu Ishnami? Didn't nobody? There were guys who knew more than him and knew more about him. He was nothing. He's now Ishnami. They tell a story that Jewish men often suffer from this lack of identity. How so? When they're a kid, they're known as Chaim's son. When they get married, they're known as Sarah's husband. When they have kids, they're known as Shmuel's father. So they never have their independence. But he has no identity now. He's Ishnami. He lost the stature and grandeur that he once had. So he dies. The interesting discussion here, though, is who does it really affect? And we started out with Rashi saying that only the death of the man, right, really has the impact on the wife. Ein ish meis ela leishtoi. But we see that it does have an impact on others, and maybe this was a warning. Doesn't seem like the family took the warning all that well. Okay, now what do we have? Vatishoer he ushnei vaneha. She is left with herself and her two sons. Vatishayer he. What does it mean, Vatishayer? What's that word mean? Remnant, remain. Naseh Shirayim. She's like the leftover. There's nothing left. She's there. She is by herself. She has these two little boys to support, but she doesn't have anyone to take care of her. Malbim says, Lo lakhu musa l'shuv l'eretz Yisrael rak nisharu sham. That was her chance. She could say, okay, Elimelech made the decision, we're going to move to Moab. Elimelech made the decision, we're going to turn our backs on our kinsfolk, we're going to walk out, we're going to go away. But now he's gone, so let's do what? Let's go home. Time to go home, boys. But she doesn't. What does she say? Vatishayer Yisha, she stays. If she had gone back, we're left, maybe things would have been different. But she remains. So now she's, you know, into the system too.
You mentioned last time that the names Machlon the Fleon are negative names, ill omened names. How did you find any explanations as to how they were given? We say whole Shemagari people that the name determines person's character. Why would parents give such a negative name?
Okay, so we're going to see today that aside from the obvious, I mean, Machlon and Chilion are obviously look like bad names, there is a positive side to those names. And perhaps when the parents gave them the names, they were using the positive side. Where are we going to see the positive side? The positive side to these names, Machlon and Chilion? That's a good question, you know. When we marry them off. So we'll hold just another pasuk. When we see when they marry off, maybe there's a different meaning to their names. Okay, so he dies, she's left with the children. Now, Vayisu lohem Noshim Moavios. What is Nisu lohem Noshim Moavios means? They took for themselves Moabite wives. What does it mean? Moabite wives, okay? They were not Jewish. Okay, so we know from the beginning they're not Jewish. Something else though we know. This expression, Vayisu lohem, how common do we feel that is in Tanakh?
Nisuin.
What? Nisuin. But the usual expression for getting married is Lokach. Vayikach. Vayikach, vayikhu lohem. Here is vayisu lohem. Second, what's the impact of the second word of that pasuk, vayisu lohem? What if it said, vayisu noshim moavios? What would that tell you? They married Moabite women. It says, vayisu lohem noshim moavios. What does that tell you? They married Moabite women. So what does that lohem add? There's a pasuk in Shoftim. See, this wouldn't work today. This wouldn't work today. In Shaduchim today, parents decide. This one suggests that this Vayisu Lohem is in direct contradiction to what Shimshon did in Shoftim when he got married. What did Shimshon do when he got married? Goes back to his parents and says, Kichu osa li liisha. Arrange me a marriage. Take her for me as a wife. Mashma then, that when it says Lohem, that they got married without their mother's rishus, without their mother's permission or involvement, that they got married on their own. Let's go a little bit farther, though, on what does it mean, Vayisu. It seems that they took these girls for wives, not in the normal sense. So if it's not in the normal sense, if we're missing Lokach, what does Lokach tell us? It's a famous Gereshav on Kicha, right? That we learn from that word, Lokach, that there's Kinyan, that there's Kedushin, the way we normally understand Kedushin. And they didn't have that, right? Because it says Vayisu lohem, they didn't have Kedushin. They did not have Kedushin. And why is that? So the Midrash gives us a little insight. Then back to the Yalkut Shimoni. Tani b'shem Rebbe Meir. And this is on the pasuk, Vayisu lahem Noshim Moavios, probably emphasizing the Noshim Moavios part of the pasuk, if you hear this medrash. Tani b'shem Rebbe Meir, lo gairum. They did not convert them. Lo idbilum. They didn't take them to the mikveh. The lo haisa halacha, And that Shaila even hadn't been resolved yet, that whether a Moabitis, we talked about yesterday, that the prohibition of an Ammoni and a Moabi coming into our people, whether it applied to females or not, that hadn't been resolved yet. So what's going on here? They seem to have taken unconverted, unmikvedipped, if there's such an expression, non-Jewish women. The Mabim says, Vihine, Habonim Hosifu Lachtoi. Not only did the death of their father not serve, if you'll pardon the expression of the Lashon HaMedina, as a wake-up call to them, hey, it's time to get back on the straight and narrow, go back to Eretz Yisrael. They continued, as he writes, Hosifu Lachtoi. They continued to do Averis. How so? They married non-Jewish wives. But Mashenisu Noshim Moavios, Shelo Gairu Osan. They didn't do anything proper. So these Machlon Vechilions were not really on the straight and narrow, as we would say. Now, who did they take? Shem Ho'achas Orpa, Veshem Hashenis Rus. Who were these two, Orpa and Rus? Rashi told us earlier, in referring to the Yichus and the status of this family, right? We said earlier that they were from Beis Lechem Yehuda, that they were known as Ephratim. They were from Ephros. That was a prestigious position. And Rashi had said earlier, and we know that, Re'ei Chashivuso, Sharei Hisi Eglon Melech Moav as Bito Lamachlon. Rus, who was the daughter of Eglon, who was the king. This is the princess of Moav. I don't know, big schus to the princess of Moab, but in Moab it was. She was the princess of Moab. And that's who married Machlon. And now we're going to get to the question of what you mentioned before about how these names fit in and whether these names are really good names or bad names. On the face of them, of course, they don't look so good. But let's see what these names look like now. As I understand geography, which is one of the many things I don't know anything about, I believe that Moab is now what would be considered the north part of the country called Jordan. You probably know.
I think the southern part of Jordan is across the Yamamel.
It's right across the Yamamel.
It is across the Dead Sea from
right, but
Eretz-Yehuda.
And that would be the south of Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a discussion, it says how they went. There's three ways that they could have gone. They could have gone across the top of the Yam HaMelech. They could have gone underneath the Yam HaMelech. When it says at the beginning, they went Vayelech. How did they get there? And then the third is, someplace near the bottom of Yam HaMelech, there's some place apparently you can cross. I don't know about that. Maybe because it's salty, which shallow.
The southern part is, there's a subdivision of Yam HaMelech, which is shallower than the main part.
Okay, so that's what they're probably talking about. Could you walk through that? Maybe in those days, who knows? But anyway, that's right. So it's equal to Yam HaMelech. So wherever that is, that's whatever part of the Yarden is, that's where that is. Okay, so they took these people. Mimashik, so now let's look at the names for a second. Mimashikti Makosuv es Orpa Larus. Orpa's name comes first. Lichora Mashmesh Orpa Hoisabchira Verus Hatsira. So Arpa was the older of the two, the Bechira, right, with a Chof, and Rus the younger. By the way, there's a famous, I don't know what she is, this Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah,
and it's told that her parents intended to name her for Arpa. How it ended up getting switched, I don't know. But that was their original intent. I don't know I don't know if she's such a great character. But anyway. So, either of them. But in Akers, that's what it says. But it looks like it was switched. Machlon in his family, Machlon was a Bechor, so he should have married Orpa, right? Bechor with Bechor. But instead, she was married to Rus. The Orpa Bechira, the Chilion Atzair. So it looks like the older married the younger. The Fizas, he shopped for Divrei Yalkin Rus. Om Rabbi Yochin, Sarek Adam Lachush Lashem. A person should, and Neil, this is your question before, a person should pay attention to the names. Machlon, who lashon, not only is it a lashon of machla, but it's also a lashon of what? Mechila. He was mechila. Good, a positive quality. Nizdavga lo rus. He was a shatkind, if you will, to Rus. Shai samir sachas min averos, who was someone who fled from averos. Okay, so the person who is, doesn't want to, she doesn't, she wants to, she's hot against averos, she goes away from averos. So a person who is a mechila person would be good. Chilyoin, lashon chilya, nizdaviglo arpa shiotsa memene goyas. Goyas was the daughter, was the son of Arpa. When Arpa leaves, when Orpah leaves and goes back, she ends up getting married and good things happen to her, or bad things, depending on how you look at it, but one of her four children, she has four giboyrim, she has four good, strong, courageous, heroic children, one of which is Golias. It brings us to an interesting question later about, so David is related to Golias, right, in a certain way. Hareisha be'emes hayat tzarech machlon is David l'orpah. The chilion is David l'rus. L'leisha machlon hitim yosel l'rus. But they decided, ha'mishum de'lefi gilon b'lechud. By age, it should have been opposite. Ha'bechor l'bechir atzer atzer l'leisha shmam garmo epech. But the names made it seem like it should come out this way. So we don't have to necessarily at all the times decide all the shiduchims, all shiduchim, just like that. Just in that fashion. Okay, further in the Yalkut Shimoni on the question of these names. Okay, so it said that the two names, and they gave us the two names. Shemachas Orpah, Shehovcha Orath of Chamosa. Perhaps she's called Orpah. Why? Because in the end, what's Orath? Back of the neck. Orath is the back of the neck. In the end, she showed the back of her neck to her mother-in-law. We say about people who are stubborn, we say, Am kishe oref. They have a stiff back of the neck. You know, stiff-necked is a synonym for stubborn. A stiff-necked person, they say stubborn. So she showed the back of her neck to her mother-in-law, so she shows Orpah. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Harfa Shema. Somebody said her name was Harfa, or that's however you pronounce that, some other name. The Lama Nikre Shmarf, Orpah. Shakol Orfim Oso Me'acharel. People turned behind her. The Chadamar Arpa Shema V'Lama Nikra Shema Harifa Shakol Dashin Osok Harifas. They treated her like Harifas. Here is almost like wheat kernels, like kasha. They treated her like nothing. So we have that expression. That's perhaps why. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, listen to this. Ksiv, later it says Vatishak Arpa L'Chamosa V'Rus Dav Kaba. Again, we're jumping ahead a little bit. When they finally separate, what happens? Orpah kisses Naomi goodbye, and Ruth stays with her. Says the Medrash, Yavo b'nei nishika v'yiplu b'yad b'nei hadevika. The offspring of the one who kissed fell to the hands of the one who cleaved, meaning the children of Orpah fell in battle to the offspring of the one who cleaved, namely Goyas falling to David. It says, "It's arba yold arbas elu yoldu laharpa begas vayuplu biyad David bischus arba demos." It said one more thing: "Shaharida arba al chamosa." It said that she cried four tears in separating from her mother-in-law. Arba isn't all bad, right? She originally she does want to stay with her. She had four strong, courageous soldier children from Orpah, Hagam, that in the end, one of them was killed, at least Goliath was killed by David HaMelech. One more comment on the name. V'shem Hashenis Rus. Okay, we said what Orpah comes from. Rus is a couple possibilities. One of them has to do with Shiris v'Sishbachos, Sheriveu LaKodesh Baruch Hu, that Shoresh of that David HaMelech created Shiras v'Tishbachos, Tehillim, the David HaMelech, that Rus is there. But here's another one, which is really interesting, and it ties into this whole question of the conversion, which we still are going to reach, but not today. V'Rus Rabba Mavur Shem Rus. Shera'asa b'divrei chamosa. What is to see someone's speech? She saw that which her mother-in-law was saying. In other words, it had meaning for her. You know, we have this expression in English which really makes absolutely no sense, right? What do we say? I see what you're saying. I see what I'm saying. What does that mean? I see what you're saying, but you can't do that. So we have that idea too. I kind of incorporate into my mind's eye the words that you're saying. Right, right. Nearly, it seems to me that what you're saying, it appears to me that what you're saying is correct. But that's only on a thought level. Anyway. Nearly, v'yirapi divrei Rabbeinu Bachi. Rabbeinu Bachi says the following. Matzina b'midrash, Omar Reish Lakish. Gidolim geirim. Converts, right, Rus is the paradigm of converts. Reish Lakish. Gidolim geirim bizman hazeh. Yoser miYisrael. Why? Kishomdu Har Sinai. Gerim are greater than the Jews who stood at Har Sinai. Wow. Har Sinai. Right, that, we don't get better than that, right? How so? Shehem Rau Esakolos Viesalapidim. It said on Har Sinai, as magical as this was, they saw the kolos. The people there saw the sounds of the shofar and the lapidim and call Hashem. What do you mean you saw the sounds of the shofar? What does that mean? It's again this whole idea that they could see the shofar blasts, whether they saw them literally, they saw them figuratively. It's a tremendous magical moment there, right? They saw these great miracles. They saw Har Sinai, and they believe in God. Okay, good, good. Look at the proof they had. They saw that. V'hagerin lo ra'u midavar zeklum. Ger doesn't see that at all. Ubayim b'tzar v'matzo g'zdofev tachas kanfei Hashchina. But nonetheless, without that proof, without that event, without seeing that, they still come tachas kanfei Hashchina. They come and want to be religious. They come and want to be Jewish. Why? Why do they want that? Okay, they want it for all the emotional reasons, but they didn't see that. L'fizeh yeslefarish divrei ha-medrash nikra shma rus. Kidei lomar shivcha. This is a praise, therefore, of Rus, that she saw in her mother-in-law's ways. Klomar shagam shirasa rak divrei chamosa. She had no physical proof. She wasn't at Mamar Sinai. She didn't see the kolos and the lapidim and the ash and all those things. Instead, what? How did she know about belief in God? Rasa rak bidivrei chamosa. She saw the way Naomi conducted herself, the way she carried herself. Odes Amunas Hashem, Darkei Ayahadus, Lo Rasa Kolos Ubrak Mishalman Torah. Rus needed and was able to become a Jew, however we understand that, through her interaction with her mother-in-law. She saw this kind woman, this tzedekis woman. However, we did see before the Malbim saying, you know, we have some questions about her. Why didn't she ultimately ever, why didn't she go back when the husband died? Anyway, we call Malkum Baal Yisgayer. That she came to convert, ulihikones tachas kanfei Hashchina, and she came under the kanfei Hashchina. Umaalso shel Ruth, the mila of Ruth, her great attribute. B'mashi yisyachsel ledivrei Naomi odos HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael. And she related to Naomi, and as such began to relate to God and the Jewish people. V'kibla osam kiilu rasa advarim b'chush. She internalized it. She felt them. Ve'achlita mizel istofef tachas kanfei Hashchina. So that's how she becomes connected to the Jewish people from seeing what she saw in her relationship with her mother-in-law. She didn't have the proof that they had on Har Sinai. She didn't have any of those things. She just has this pure faith that she develops from her interactions with Naomi. Okay, so they married those two girls. Those are their names. They were princesses. One was the daughter of Eglon. We say they were princesses in Moab.
Were they sisters?
Okay, so then there's some question about that. Some place it says yes. Some place it said they weren't. Because in one place it said that he gave his daughter And the other, it says he gave his b'chor, b'chira. Okay, so what happened? They get married. They're there living all together. Everyone's happy. Everyone's supposed to be happy anyway. And Yeshu Sham Ke'eser Shonim. And they stay there married for 10 years. And this is 10 years of a gezerah. It's 10 years of a mida keneged mida. It's 10 years of a measure of punishment that's going to be extracted from them. Because in the course of those 10 years, they had a chance. What was their chance? One, let's put aside whether they had to properly marry or divorce these girls. But they could have gone back and they didn't. They could have changed their attitude of Tzar Zion and they didn't. So at the end of 10 years, Oyamusu Gamshtahem. Okay, so we're going to pick up, I think, Monday with their death there.